Hey guys, and welcome back to another amazing interview episode on Unlocked, the lifestyle design podcast all about unlocking you and all of us. It's about tapping into what's possible and then living it through transformational stories, inspiring guests, sharing the real work of living a life of intention. We're grateful you're here, my friends.
Today, we are diving into money and making money work for you and your intentional lifestyle design. Now, here's what we know. More is not always better, especially when it comes to money. And in this episode, we're talking about how to make your money, no matter how much you have or how much you make, work for you. Our guest today has been honored as a top money expert and is a leading voice in being intentional with your money. Barbara Ginty is a certified financial planner and the host of the Future Rich podcast. She has thousands of clients who sing her praises. And from firsthand experience, she's one of the most creative minds when it comes to designing your financial systems around what matters most to you and the future you want to build. This conversation will not only inspire and energize you to invest in your financial landscape, but it will give you tips and strategies that you can think about and implement right now to further align your financial landscape with the life you desire most. When you're done, head on over to the links in the show notes to hear more about Barbara. Be prepared for a wealth of knowledge. Now, on to the episode. Enjoy, friends. Okay, everyone, we are here with a dear friend and someone that I'm so excited to bring to you today, Barbara Ginty. Barbara is a certified financial planner. She is, she has all the certifications and all of the things that you want me to say. But the most important part is that if you sit down with Barbara and ask for financial strategies, she is going to give you straight and clear and creative. And I think that that is one of the most special traits about you and something I've seen in you, but not seen in a lot of other financial folks, that you are just so wickedly intelligent and you are just so clear on, well, what is your strategy for your life and what you want. Now let's find all the creative ways and smart ways to build a financial system and a financial structure to support all of that. So very excited to bring Barbara to you all today. So thank you for being here, Barbara. And in advance, thank you for all of the stories and the tools and tactics and strategies that you're going to share with our listeners.
Absolutely. That was a very kind introduction. But yes, I absolutely like to make sure that we utilize all the strategies that are available to help you achieve whatever it is that is your financial goal. And I think the interesting thing about personal finance is it's completely different for everybody. I've never seen two people that are the same. You could have the same income, and you would think it might be the same goals, but your relationship to money, your objectives for your life, and your goals for your life are all very different from person to person. And so money, in my mind, is just a tool to help you achieve that. And so it's very different for every person.
I love thinking about money as a tool. Just thinking about it as a resource, you know, not money as the end goal for everything or the reason for us getting up every single day, but just a tool and a resource to do what you want to do in your life.
Yeah, it helps you achieve what you're looking for. No one sits around with stacks of cash and is like, this is fun. Like, you use it, right? I mean, it's not why you accumulate it. You accumulate it for some greater purpose, whether that is financial security, early retirement, traveling, have the wherewithal to take care of your parents as they age. Everyone has a different motivator, but the motivator for most people isn't, I want to sit in a room with cash. You're using it to help you get to whatever is your internal motivator. And it's just so different for so many people, whether it's financial security, early retirement, or to take care of other people. That's something that we actually hear a lot is, I want to make, you know, my parents did a lot of wonderful things for me growing up, and they've worked really hard, and I'd like to be able to make sure that they're able to retire. I'm not as worried about me, but I'm worried about my family or my kids. I want to make sure I didn't get to go to college. I want to make sure they're able to go to college. So yeah, I really look at it as a resource and a tool. You're using it to get to something.
And you're hitting on so many of the topics that are near and dear to my heart. Even as you're saying that, I'm like holding my heart because it speaks so true to my own life. But to also, I'm sure a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people who go through strategic planning for life, we talk a lot about what are your life intentions? What do you truly want in your life? And you're hitting on a lot of things that we hear in that. We're not hearing like, I just want more money and more money so I can do all these things. Sure, I want to do things, but I want to take care of the people in my life. I want to spend time with people in my life. Yep. I want to have the space to enjoy these moments with them. You know, for me personally, just knowing, watching my parents at the stage that they're at and seeing them invest in us so kindly and with such full hearts, invest in us and my sibling and her family. And I'm just looking at them saying, like, I want to do that for you and for my kids. So I'm kind of like watching their strategies and saying, like, how do I kind of build some of that in now so that when I get to the point that you're at, I want to be doing the exact same thing. So agreed. It's not about just the,
it's not like the statement. You just, it's nice to see the number, but usually the people that are successful have an intrinsic motivator for why they want that. Like, what is that number going to help them do with their lives?
100%. Okay. So I so appreciate the reflection of it's personal to everyone. Everyone, you could have the same amount of money across the board living in very similar circumstances, but the intrinsic motivators are different. The outcomes are different. The strategies are different. So to ground everyone in your own relationship with money and how you've been very intentional and strategic about it, what has your story been like? What has your relationship been like over your years, and where what role does it play in your life?
Hey friend, are you someone who has big vision and you want more clarity on how to bring that to life? Are you in a partnership and you desire a deeper level of connection and alignment? Are you a leader looking for solutions to support and inspire your team to be their best selves? Or do you value a community of like-hearted people who actively build their most meaningful lives on their own terms? If any of this sounds like you, then you will love our Strategic Planning for Life experience. It's an immersive course and community built to create immediate clarity, deepen relationships, and ignite authentic action. Join the movement of people who are redesigning their lives and definitions of success around more clarity and purpose. Jump on over to our website at owlandkey.co and click Get Started to select your Strategic Planning for Life track. We're currently enrolling individuals, couples, and teams. We're excited to hear from you. Until then, back to the episode.
That is a great question. So I am very much motivated by financial independence because I don't want to be beholden to anybody else for anything in my life. I want to be able to make my own car payment, my own mortgage. I never want to be tied to anybody financially. I think it's really empowering to have full control over your finances because it allows you to drive your life, right? I don't have to stay in a job I don't like. I don't have to be in a relationship, right? A lot of people end up in bad relationships because of financial a lack of financial ability, right? They don't have the wherewithal to get themselves out. Or a lot of people stay in a job because they've adjusted to that lifestyle and aren't ready to downsize their life. So they can't quit the job that maybe is toxic and not good for them because the mortgage is based on that salary. And so if they can't secure another role with that exact salary, their entire lifestyle, so they're locked into something they don't want to be because of finances. And so my big motivator was always, I wanted to be educated because I didn't start in personal finance. I started on Wall Street. Ironically, a lot of people on Wall Street, like if you hear some stories about people work there, you do really well financially, but not everyone makes the best financial decisions when you're making that amount of money. Yeah, it's really surprising because working in institutional finance is not personal finance. They're very different types of finance. Like working at an investment bank is very different than estate planning, retirement income planning. It's a very different aspect of finance. And so to me, just at a very young age, I always liked to have my own money to have control. I liked having control over my life and not being beholden to anybody else. So I don't like debt. And I like to be able to make my own decisions and say, well, it's my money. It's my life, my choice is my motivator. And so I left Wall Street because I was always very interested in personal finance because I'm wanting that independence and that control. And so I was helping everybody else. So like on lunch breaks, or I was meeting people in conference rooms being like, you got your bonus. Like, let's figure out what to do with your student loans. Or like walking one day down one of the last firms I worked for was a woman who had worked with me at my prior firm. And I remembered her, I worked at big firms. So there's like thousands of people in the office, you know, in high rises in New York. And I said, hi, and I don't remember. And she was like, oh my gosh, I just want to tell you like, that 401k you set up for me like 6 years ago has done great. And I was like, I didn't even remember. But people would like ping me and be like, hey, can you help me with my 401k? Which HR did not know I was like running around setting it up for people. I'd like sit at their desk and be like, what's your social security number? Okay, great. Okay, so this is the match. So we should do like a little bit more. Okay, great. You can always switch it if you want to later. And it's like, okay, you're good. And then like run away.
It's like the best way to figure out if you're not sure what kind of work you should be doing in your life. I feel like it's the best way to figure it out by looking at what you do during lunch breaks and how you help people randomly. Like, what are you doing just because you enjoy it? And someone continues to come to you and ask for that because it's so valuable to them.
Yeah. I'd get messages like, hey, I heard you set up 401ks. So I'm like, okay, what's your desk number? What floor? Okay. Yeah. I'll pop down. I'm going to go grab a coffee. I'll pop down and do that for you. Yeah, someone showed it to me, and a lot of people, like, we had a really great match in my first company, and people weren't in it because you had to go through and set it up, and it was a little intimidating, but like once you knew how to do it, it was super easy. So I just would be like, oh, I can do that for you. Like, we go to the HR system, we do this, give me your birth date. Okay, here we go. So I decided to make the switch from institutional finance to personal, also because it has a really big impact. I think that when you learn that it really doesn't matter how much money you make, it really matters your understanding of our financial system and how does money work. And understanding that knowledge base is really the tool to success. It really doesn't matter how much money you make. People just assume like, I'll make more money, I will be more successful. Statistically, not true. Most people who make more money spend more money, and then you get yourself locked into this level that you need to have to maintain, and you're always just on the verge of maybe not making it. That's really stressful. A lot of our clients who have been very successful, the people that I've seen be very successful, are not the highest income earners. They are the most knowledgeable. They ask the best questions. They want to be educated. They want it to be a team effort. And they know what their motivators are.
That is so wonderful to hear. And I know you were part of a book. It was Financial Diaries. What was it?
Money Diaries. Yeah, with Refinery 29.
It's so helpful to hear these stories and to hear that perspective, because it's the common lie that goes around for so many of us. The more you make, the more successful you will be. And to hear the honest truth, especially from someone who works with hundreds of clients.
Thousands of clients. I've met with thousands of people at this stage in my career.
It gives me such comfort and hearing you say that. And I'm sure that most of our listeners feel the exact same way, because we talk a lot about, it's not about the quantity. It's not about the quantity. And it's not about the quantity of years you have, right? Or the quantity of time you have, but it's about the quality. And the same is true here. Mm-hmm. It's not about the quantity of the money that you have. I mean, I'm sure that there's a certain point at which it makes a difference, right? The number at which like it actually does make a difference. You have tell me.
Yeah. Okay. It makes a difference if you have the right foundation. So to just give you perspective, you could be working in a bakery making $40,000 a year, and you could actually retire more successfully than someone making $300,000 a year. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we'll just say, and this is not the case for everyone making $300,000 a year, but if the person who's making $300,000 a year has a ton of debt, bought a house they can't afford, or are on the verge of not being able to afford, they base it on two incomes. The other partner now is not working because they didn't plan for that. Net worth wise, they could be in a worse position, even though they have a better technical cash flowing job, right? Or career. While the person at the bakery at 40,000, their expenses might be proportional to what they're making, but they're able to save 20-25% because they have a clear sense of their path and what they want to do. Versus the $300,000 income earner is spending more than they're making, well, they're actually in a worse position. But if you just ask them their income, you would assume the $300,000 earner is in a better position. Not necessarily true. It's all about, you know, understanding how the financial system works, and like debt and assets and interest rates and emergency, all the fundamental stuff. If you have that all down, you can be very successful at really any income level, because it's based on what you need, right? Because I've had people come into my office and say, we need $25,000 a month to maintain our lifestyle. Well, that's great, but we can't do that on what you've saved. So despite the fact that you are a high income earner, we actually cannot retire, because what you need to be comfortable, you haven't prepared for that. So money doesn't just solve, it's not just money. You can't just make more and think you're going to succeed. It's having that fundamental understanding of like, how is this money going to get me to where I want to be? And am I structuring what I'm making to move the needle, or am I just spending every dollar and spinning my wheels? That you do see that quite often.
Oh my gosh, I'm pretty much speechless as I'm listening, because I think the wisdom that you're sharing, and I'm just like soaking up the words and the knowledge that you're putting out, because it's so valuable to hear someone talk like this and to be able to say, this is that we talk a lot about redefining success. We talk about what does it mean for you to feel successful in your life? And in my mind, I'm thinking about that $300,000 earner who's kind of stretched to the max and not really getting any kind of what we'll just call profit margin, right? Or any
right, yeah, they're just
extra.
They spend everything. Yeah.
Right. It's not just from a financial perspective that they might be tight. Think about the actual comfort, the mental and emotional and physical wellness or lack of wellness that comes in that place, right? The tension mm-hmm. and the stress that comes from that place, versus if you have that strong foundation, being able to at 40,000, think about the capacity and the space you have and the potential well-being and mental space that you have. Because you know you're taking care of your needs, you are putting money where it needs to be, and you're also not constantly chasing that next
number,
right? Yeah. This number of what, if we could just get to that place, then we could be in a good financial situation. With the strong foundation, they're safe.
If you don't understand that if of every dollar you make, you need to set some aside for emergency, some for future, some for today, and you don't have that foundation of success with your personal finances, more money doesn't equate success. That's exactly why lottery winners almost statistically lose the money. If you can't manage $1,000, you most definitely can't manage a million.
Oh, it's so important to know that. This idea of a foundation is such a valuable perspective and setting that up. So I want to maybe take the complication out of it. So mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of listeners here who probably have this strong foundation already set up, but probably also a lot of listeners who are questioning, do I have a strong foundation set up? And I feel like thinking about money and financials can feel complicated. It can feel like stressful that, oh my gosh, I have to understand the financial system. The financial system is very scary to many.
Yes.
Right.
It is complicated and it changes often. There's constantly new regulations. Yeah. It is
so when you're thinking about that strong foundation of putting that in place, what does a strong foundation look like most commonly? Something that is like, okay, I've got a foundation in place and it's not complicated and I'm set up well to get started on my financial journey.
There are a couple of really easy tips that are very basic. So one is knowing how much you make and knowing what you spend. And you'll be surprised that a lot of people cannot articulate what they need monthly. And how is it serving you?
Mm-hmm. What are you actually using it for?
What are we using it for? Are you spending 30% of your take home on restaurants? Like, is that what you want? Because you said you wanted vacation and we're putting nothing towards vacation.
Right.
So kind of understanding what is coming in, where is it going? And is it where it's going helping you achieve what your goals are? Like, is it serving you or is it not? Or is it just mindless, like you're not intentionally, you have no intention of where the money is going. And that happens to a lot of people. Like, trust me, I still sometimes have to sit down and be like, okay, where is our money going? And is this where I really, is this intentional or is this just, I didn't pay attention this month, which that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that happening and just getting back on track. So I think
I do this all the time too.
I
do the exact same thing. Go in and look at that credit card expense and be like
why did I spend so much money there?
How did that happen?
One thing I always look at is like, especially in cities, like you spend a lot on Uber and then, you know, we talk about like vacation. It's like, well, I can't afford vacation. I'm like, well, cause you're taking many vacations in your Uber all the time. Like if you planned a little bit farther ahead and took the subway, we'd save a lot of money throughout the year and you could take a beautiful vacation to Mexico or somewhere, but we're just Ubering all of our money away. So just knowing what's coming in and what's going out is step one. Step two is making sure that money, right, is serving the purpose. So like, do we have an emergency fund lined up? Because I think one of the things we learned through COVID is that it's not necessarily going to be a personal emergency. It could be a global emergency. A lot of people found out the hard way how necessary an emergency fund is with COVID because no one saw that coming. I mean, you would have thought like if you're a server, if the restaurant closes, I'll just become a waitress somewhere else at another. Well, every restaurant is closed. So if you don't have an emergency fund, that is a tough situation to be in. And a lot of people think it's like boring and it doesn't make you a lot. It's Personal finance is not meant to be exciting. If it's exciting, you're doing something wrong. This is boring, consistent, long-term results.
Is it not boring for you?
Yes, boring.
Boring. Good to know. I was like, well, maybe someone's passionate about this.
Should be boring. This is boring stuff. The emergency fund, boring. We want it to be boring. Exciting, what I say to people, exciting, which is stock trading, that's we call that gamble. That's also known as gambling. It looks like a heart attack. Like if you are a stock trader, it goes up and down, that is a heart attack. That is also how it will feel because it will be your money. It will be going up, it will be going down. It will be going up, it will be going down. Unless that is your job and you're going to commit to the hours that it is needed to be successful in that, like any other career, like you don't read a book on surgery and then go do surgery, right? Like, that's not how it works. You don't read a book on investing and then all of a sudden think you're going to be the Derek Jeter of investing. It's just, you might get lucky for sure. And some people will be good at it. Some people are naturally skilled in certain things. Some people are naturally skilled in stock picking. Some people are naturally skilled to be professional athletes. Statistically unlikely. So unless you're in the anomaly, which is not saying you're not the Derek Jeter of trading, but probably not, because if you were, you'd just make a couple million as a hedge fund trader, just saying. Right. So what you should be doing as a normal person, it should be boring. We should be knowing what's coming in, what's going out. Is that serving your goals? Do we have an emergency fund? So God forbid there's an emergency, whether it's ours, the country's, or the nation's, are we prepared to continue a very bare, doesn't have to be fancy lifestyle, but a bare bones lifestyle? Can we pay our mortgage? Can we pay our rent? Can we feed ourselves? Utilities, right? Can we get through comfortably for a few months so that that takes that financial stress away? And then I think it's always really important to be planning for the future. So like, are we putting something away so that at some point we don't have to work? Because I don't know anybody who's like, I want to work forever. I haven't heard it, hasn't happened. And I've also never had anyone come into my office and be like, you know, I think we oversaved for retirement. We have too much. Also has never happened. No one's ever been like, shoot, we can retire early. That's a bummer. We put too much money away. Hasn't happened.
Helpful to know. Many of us would never know what that perspective is like, right? So it's helpful to hear that no one's coming to you and saying like, oh, I wish we wouldn't have saved so much.
Overdid that. Because generally, if you end up ahead of your goal, like you just retire earlier.
Mm-hmm. And then you could do
more.
Put that, do what you want with your life. And if you are working, it's a choice. It's a choice for you to continue to work, not a have to, but I really want to.
I will say that from our clients that have chosen to continue to work, even though they don't have to, going to work when you can say, if someone's really annoying, like, okay, I'm done today. Today's my last day. I don't need to deal with this. Like, I'm here because I want to be here, not because I need to be here, is a very different mindset than going because you have to. I have to pay the mortgage. I have to pay the car payment. I have all these bills. That's a different, like, it's, I will tell you that we have a lot of clients that once we get to where they're good, they're fine to retire. They're like, you know, I'll do one more year. And then like next year, I'm like, so you want to be done? Like, you know, I'm just really, you know what? I'm going to do one more. I think I'll do one more year. We had one woman when she was 80. I was like, so like, are we done? Like it's been years. She was like, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to find my replacement. And I was like, okay, so one more. I mean, she finally was like, we're losing money at that point, right? Like we want her to spend something, like not just keep working. So finally like committed to retiring. But the interesting part is like actually when you get there, people find that like when they go because they want to, and it allows you maybe to like do a different role. Maybe you cut back on hours and that's why financial independence I think is really important. You're in the driver's seat. So you go into your boss and say, I can retire, but I kind of like this aspect of the job. So if you'd like to keep me on, I'll do 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. They say no, like that's totally fine. You don't need them. You're doing them a favor. You have the expertise at that point. You're there because you want to be there. And that's a really nice position to be in. And that's why I've never had a client say like, oh, I wish I hadn't saved so much. It just hasn't happened. It just gives you back. It gives you power and control.
It gives you so much freedom. To watch my parents in their current situation. And, you know, my dad owned a plumbing business. My mom was a CPA. So they're not like these, you know, flashy jobs in big cities. But they were, you know, very committed to their work and hardworking, and they were solid and they were consistent, and they, you know, just kept.
They were boring.
Yeah, they were boring.
Yeah, they're boring.
But to watch them near retirement and to have the freedom to make the decisions, not because they just like got lucky and it happened, but because they started very early saying, what do we want to be able to do? Yep. And started structuring exactly as you're saying, creating that boring foundation, which I can attest to. I can attest to like having a budget and having that boring spreadsheet that none of us want to put together, but that ultimately allows us to make those key decisions, right? Just a spreadsheet.
Conscious, intentional decisions.
This is all about intentional awareness of ourselves, yep, of our resources, and being able to make intentional decisions for what we want. And so to even break it down, like there was nothing you said in there about the foundation being, well, you need to understand all these complicated things about finance. Mm-hmm. The foundation is, do you have a budget and an awareness of the numbers that are coming in, yep, and out? That could be a spreadsheet. It could be a Word document. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it could be a notebook.
I've had people
bring in a notebook and they physically have it written out. That's fine too.
100%. Then it's putting some buckets out there for, okay, yep, what are we, now that we know what's going in, coming in and going out, what are some buckets that we want to start investing in? And Phil and I, with the help of a friend, she made a similar recommendation to what you said, and it did make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Every month we put this much in retirement. Every month we put this much in a travel fund. Every month we put this much in our home. And so that we know we're intentionally investing in those areas. And that was just accounts in the bank.
And I will say that people tend to do things in the reverse. So I call it budgeting backwards. So set like, okay, our goal is to take one really big epic vacation a year. Well, then when you get paid, that should be a bill. Like that gets paid first. You pay yourself first. Mm. Right. And so people tend to be like, oh, well, at the end of the month, I have $200. It's all I have left. It's like, right. But if we had spent the money the way you wanted it in the beginning, maybe you would have made different decisions the rest of the month because you would have intentionally said, I'm putting $200 a month towards vacation. I'm putting this towards my retirement, this towards my fire goal. And then when you're left over, you maybe would have said, oh, I actually can't go to that extravagant dinner because I want the early retirement. I want the travel fund, right? Wow. That's the intentionality of paying yourself first.
Right.
Set your goals. Don't let life just happen to you. Determine what your income is going to drive for you and do it first.
And actively be engaged in that. Actively. Yep. You know the money's coming in at a certain point. Yep. Actively be engaged with, okay, we're intentionally putting this here so that when day 25 comes and all of a sudden we get a really great opportunity to spend a lot of money, we say no because the cash isn't there. It's already in the areas that matter most to us.
That you've chosen for you. You could say to me, you know what, Barbara, I don't care about early retirement. I want to do the dinners. Great. Then the money's there. You don't put it in the early retirement bucket. Then it's a personal choice. Like I have, I don't think I've shared this before, but I have always saved between 40% and 60% of my income. Mm-hmm. Financial independence was always my number one priority. I never wanted to be beholden to a job or any other person for anything. I don't know where that came from, but from a very young age, I started making money. I think my first time making money was 8, 9. Right. When I started selling jewelry and I ran a babysitting business, and I've always just had money. Cause I think when I was young, it was like, well, you can't do that because that costs money. So then my response was like, well, then how do I get money? And my dad was like, well, you should do a business. And so I made jewelry and my dad drove me to jewelry stores and I sold terrible jewelry. The people were very nice to buy. I mean, it wasn't a lot of money. I think I was like making $8 for like a little piece of ugly pin, like a little ugly pin. But I learned that like, if I had money, then I could do things that I wanted to do and pay for things that I wanted. And I didn't have to, you know, be told no, or you can't do this. And so I, from the get-go, have always, starting at my first offer, which I signed at 21, I've always saved a significant amount. And so I just live on what's left. And I realized as I got into personal finance that the majority of people, it's not right or wrong, it's just not taught, spend their money. And then they say, when they meet with somebody, oh, well, I only have 200. It's like, no, you had 10,000 in the beginning of the month.
Huge shift.
You chose to spend $4,000 on an apartment. No one's forcing you to spend $4,000 on house. That's a choice. So if that doesn't bring you joy and you're saying at the end of the month, I don't have enough, well, then we need to rethink where your money is going and what it's serving. So, and then one of the big things is housing is usually one of the biggest costs that people don't think about because they look at what they're making and say, oh, I can afford $4,000. Yeah, you can. What are your other goals besides the apartment or the house? Some people get often, because I'm not pro renting or pro buying. I think it depends on the individual. And you'll see advisors that like have really strong opinions on either side. I'm just pro. If you want to sit in your house and you want the most beautiful house and you're going to have people over all the time and that's going to make you really happy, that's your joy, do it. But I find a lot of people overspend on housing and then the attitude is, well, I only have left. And it's like, no. Whether or not it's intentional, you're choosing what's happening with your money. That's a choice, whether you intend it or not. One is you're turning a blind eye to what's happening. The other is intentional. And intentional usually works out better in the long term.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, all of this is about intentional lifestyle design. And what you're showcasing too is it all comes down to priorities. And that's why in the work strategic plan for life and this intentional lifestyle design, we're defining. So yes, foundation, financial foundation, but then defining what actually matters to you first, understanding those things so that you're not getting yourself in this situation where it's like, well, you know, everything on Pinterest says big, beautiful house perfectly this way. And I have to do that right now in this era of life, but that's not true. It doesn't have to be. If that's not for you, if that's not in alignment with your values, if it's not in alignment with your intentions, being able to say, no, not right now, maybe later I can have that house and invest in that house. But right now, maybe my focus is traveling. Maybe my focus is having a family. Maybe my focus is, it's just not all
financial
about all
freedom,
right now.
Like having financial better freedom. Cash freedom. So to me, having more money was always important. I never wanted to be stressed financially. And so the money that I lived in New York, the amount of money that I spent on rent was basically almost the same the entire 14 years. So basically, I never really upgraded my lifestyle in terms of an apartment because it wasn't important. To me, having a certain amount saved for retirement was important. Being able to take vacation was important. Being able to have the wherewithal at 29 to leave Wall Street at a high-paying job and take a almost like 75% pay cut to buy a business, that was what I wanted to set myself up for. Now, had I spent all my money on housing, which is what most people did in New York, it sounds lovely. I never had an elevator. Never had an elevator. I had a 6-floor walk up. Nobody visits you when you have no one visits you when you have a 6-floor walk up. My one girlfriend was pregnant, wanted to come over, and I was like, you're gonna like give birth on the stairs. I will meet you down. It's like 170 stairs. I mean, you can't walk up that when you're 9 months pregnant. Like, that's a lot. So I gave up having an elevator, and everyone's like, you can get a nicer, like, I like my apartment. It was a comfortable, I always made my decision based on price. It was a comfortable price for me, and it allowed me to do everything else I wanted with my life and gave me a lot more freedom and flexibility because I wasn't spending, and very often in high cities or expensive cost of living cities, 50% goes to rent. But I also lived with a ton of roommates as well before I was able to find a really stinking deal for a 6-floor walk-up, which most people would, I mean, there's not a lot of people fighting to live on the top floor of a walk-up building, you know?
No, 100%. But it is valuable if you're wanting to get that workout every time you go up those 6-floor stairs.
Yeah, so I canceled my gym membership because I was like, I'm just going to, I mean, I was in great shape because, I mean, and also traveling, I never actually had to buy a bigger suitcase than a carry-on because I could not actually get it up the stairs. So like I only ever did a carry-on for 8 years. I never went anywhere without a carry-on. I only had one suitcase. I only had space for one and I could only carry one up. And this you don't buy many groceries. You have to get it all the way up there. It's really hard.
You're designing around though what matters. And to you, it was that financial independence, being able to live in this big city, but have that financial independence. I'll relate it to, you know, just recently we have this new yard with this house and it's huge, bigger than any yard we've ever had. We do not have a lawnmower. And so everyone was like, oh, you need this zero turn lawnmower. And those are $4,000 plus. And I was like,
really?
No, what I need is a workout every week. So get me a push lawnmower and I'll be just fine. And I'll just do that every week and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
A lot of money.
Right? Because then
priorities. Yes.
Priorities. Exactly. Priorities. Okay. So what if I get a little sweaty pushing a lawnmower around? That's way better than spending a ton of money on something that we don't need, right? And so that those examples we don't often talk about, especially when we're talking about, you know, financial freedom and the idea what to spend on and what not to spend on.
Well, you brought up
such a helpful idea.
A good point. That's another way that I always will ask people, is that a want or is that a need?
Yes.
And every line item in your life shouldn't be a want, right?
Yeah.
That's where you don't move ahead in your finances. That's where you tread water, because everything is a want and you haven't identified what the needs are and where the want. It's lovely to think that, yes, you can have everything when you want it, at the time you want it, at the price you, that's just not realistic and usually won't lead to success. You always, everybody has to choose, and people think that you make more money and that goes away. That doesn't really go away. You're always going to be choosing what your wants and what your needs are. So like when I bought a house, this happens to me too. Like, it's not like I'm immune to this. I was looking for a house and I found a house that had a spectacular view. The house is complete tear down and I don't know anything about construction. I don't know electrician. I don't know how to do plumbing. I have no one in my family who can do any of those things either. So you're paying top dollar for that, because plumbers and electricians, great career paths, phenomenal career paths.
I agree.
We have super successful clients that are in trades. Trades is phenomenal. They don't get highlighted enough, but phenomenal career path for anyone listening. You can do quite well financially because you start earlier. You start at 18. You don't start at 22 with negative 300,000.
And if there's anyone listening who's an entrepreneur and wants to buy up a business, there's a lot of those trade businesses.
There's a lot for
wanting
sale.
To be purchased.
Yes.
Right.
So it's a great marketplace, it's a right now.
Great industry. Great market.
Yeah, yeah. A great industry. But so I had someone give me my own feedback, was like, what is the view, a want or a need? And I was like, well, technically I'm not living on, because the question was like, are you going to live on the deck? The only thing good about the house was the deck. Everything else is a complete and utter disaster. And so I had to like take a step back. And in my mind, I was like, I've sacrificed on housing for 14 years. I've had roommates. I've commuted. I've lived in a walk-up. I've never prioritize the housing spend. So to me, it was like, well, this is my time. I'm going to. But I know myself, and I just needed someone to give me a little bit of my own medicine back, which is financial freedom is really my motivator. And so as much as the view was spectacular, the amount of financial liability I was going to take on to completely gut and renovate a massive house alone while running a business as an independent woman, and it's not my skill set, it stresses me, I don't know anything, I didn't have any context where the house was going to be purchased. It would be different if I was back in my comfort zone where I had the contractors and the plumbers and I can trust them. I was going to have to look for all these people. So that was the exact question, is the view a want or a need? And the view is a want. I don't need a view.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you're showcasing, and I think this is so important, and probably, you know, the title of the entire thing is just this idea of financial freedom does not equal more money that you can then retire early and, you know, have freedom at that point. Financial freedom is when you have that ability to, and the confidence and the parameters to make those decisions, to feel the freedom from having to think about money all the time and feel scarce about it.
Yep.
And when you are making that decision, and thank you, friend, for asking that question, I'm sure, because you're showcasing how holistically you looked at it. You looked at, how am I going to feel when I'm trying to interact with all these contractors? How am I going to feel when I'm stressed about what needs to happen and what doesn't? And that aspect of it is not freedom. Even if you have the view and this amazing end outcome, you have no freedom in that.
And the important thing about that question was, if I had been asked, can I afford it? Yes. Yes, I can afford it. Yes, I can spend that money. I have it. It's on my balance sheet. No problem. To actually fund that, I had the money to do it. But it's not if you can afford it. It's if you want or need it. And it didn't qualify as a need for me. A need for me is not having financial stress. That's a need for me.
That's such a beautiful point. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, which we might have to just do a part two on, was this idea of a lot of people going through transitions in life and how to think about money and those big transitions to kind of stabilize and keep that strong foundation while going through a major transition. And the flip side of that is if you would have said, this is a need at this phase and this era in my life, I need this property, and maybe it had some significance or some influence in your life, then you have to let go of some other things. You have to deprioritize and be okay deprioritizing some other things so that you can prop that up and make that happen.
make that the priority. And that's where the money was going to be. That's where the time and effort is going to be. But it just wasn't that I don't need, and ironically, I still have a view, which is crazy because how the universe works.
How it works.
Yeah, I just have a view from the front versus the back. Like the other one was a backyard view. This is a front yard view, which is, I mean, it's still, I mean, I don't really care if I drink coffee in the front yard or the backyard. So it ended up all working out. But I will say I have had this house for like about four years. And I think about all the time, thank goodness I didn't get into a 2-year complete renovate because I would have been doing it alone, which is also that factor to think about. Like that's all on me having to make all the decisions. And so I think that's always also a really important thing. I think a lot of people come from a mindset of like, can I afford it? That doesn't always give you your best answer. It's whether it's a want or need in your life. And they can, and they change over time.
Yes, to revisit it. And that's the important part about maintaining, right? And maintaining that boring work of looking at that budget and making those decisions and constantly coming back to what is a want, what is a need, and how are you prioritizing those things? Thank you so much. I have so many more questions. I would love to spend so much more time, but now we have to hop because we're gonna record on Barbara's podcast, Future Rich. Yep. So I'll put a plug there. Where can our listeners find you? Please share where they can connect with you. Where are you on the interwebs? How can they listen to more of your wisdom? Give them a place for them to go find you.
Sure. So our best place to find us is on Instagram, Future Rich Podcast. So I interview women, only women, because I think we need more women in this industry and we need more women voices. I interview women every week about their personal finances. You can hear all about, is it a want or a need? Can you afford? Can you not afford? So we do this every week, which is why it's so interesting because everyone's different. And so we get to hear all different sorts of stories and money relationships and motivators. And so you can find that wherever you listen, Apple or Spotify. It's on all the major podcast networks.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for being here, for all the wisdom. I can't wait to have you back when time allows on your schedule because you're wonderful and such a gift. Thank you for being here.
So much for having me.
Thank you for joining us this week on another episode of the Unlocked Podcast. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you want to learn more about the topics we discussed in today's episode and access more lifestyle design opportunities, you can visit owlandkey.co to learn more. Did you love this episode of the Unlocked Podcast? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's super appreciated and helps us continue to bring meaningful conversations and content to you every week. You can also find us on Instagram at owl_and_key, on Facebook, and on YouTube. We'd love to connect with you, so drop us a line at hello@owlandkey.co to share your thoughts on the show, topics you'd like us to cover, and recommend inspirational people you feel we should bring onto the show. Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Unlocked. Talk soon, my friends.